sing that song, it reminds me that we are that army. And we're rising up, aren't we? We should be rising up. And when we're going into battle of life, we're not doing it from a position of wondering if we're going to win. We're rising up from, and we know we're rising up to a position of victory, aren't we? And we don't need to rise up and be rising up as God's army, God's special forces, to know that, or to wonder what's going to happen here. Because we know when we walk into battle with Jesus, we have victory. And we're coming in it from victory. David didn't go against Goliath and wonder, I wonder what's going to happen with this rock and this sling. He knew he was walking in from a position of victory. And that's how we can approach life and against any of our giants. Let's pray. Father God, we just love you. We honor you. God, thank you for reminding us, even through this song, that we are part of your army and that we are part of your special forces, that we've been activated to do your mission that you've called us to do here on earth, and tell people about your love and tell people about your grace and your mercy and to live it out in our lives. So God, we thank you for that. We thank you for that mission. And Father, we thank you for the authority you've given us in life. Father, be with us this morning. Encourage us, bless us, lift us up in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Take off your mask. Make yourself comfortable. If you're at home, you probably don't have a mask on unless you like wearing a mask, which I don't know why you would like to wear a mask, because it makes me hot. It makes my lips sweat where I didn't think you could sweat there. Is that weird to talk about? I don't know. Am I the only one that their lips sweats when they wear their mask? So I changed the background, so hopefully it doesn't go all crazy on you guys like it was the past couple weeks. I got rid of it because I don't know if you remember, if you've been watching, but it would say Jesus everywhere all over in tiny letters, and it would move, and then it would go into like almost like a seizure. It would just go crazy, and so I tried to fix it, so we'll see. Now we get purple water with a design in the middle, so it's fun. So, we are in this series called Authority, but before we start talking about our authority and my identity is what we're talking about today, I just wanted to give you a brief rundown of what my week looked like. So, last week I got to share with you guys that I learned all about septic problems, which continued on into Sunday evening and then Monday, and we finally got the problem we thought fixed. We tested it, perfect. And then Tuesday, the guy came out to help me finish doing the install of whatever we were changing that was the level switch, only to discover what didn't work and the tank was full again. So that was fun. So we had to pull in a new cable to the house, and it was just a great time. And I still don't understand why it went the way it did, and then I don't understand why I was so excited to get an acreage, and then I look around at my yard and enjoy the beauty of it, especially in the summer. Especially the fresh garden and that type of stuff. That's a lot of fun. And hopefully my fish in the winter when I go ice fishing in it. That'll be fun too. But enough about my week. Oh, I also got to go to Eston College. Has anybody ever been there? It was a neat place. It was fun. I got to share with them. The last time I was at Eston College, I was almost getting run out of town. Like, you've seen those shows where they run somebody out of town and they're chasing after them and their horses or whatever and the people are running away. It's kind of what it was like, except I was in Bible school and we were there for a hockey tournament, and then there was an altercation in the hallway between our hockey team and another hockey team. And yeah, you know how sports are. They're fun. Anyway, my identity. I shouldn't have shared that story in front of my kids. So we're here at Sunday Church, and we're in this series called Authority. And the first week of the series, we talked about the name of Jesus, right? And what does that name mean to you? And we talked about how, as believers, we have promises from the Word of God. And we talked about how the promises from the Word bring peace, don't they? And the promises from the Word of God, they bring prosperity. The promises from the Word of God bring protection. The promises bring boldness. The promises bring healing. And last week we got to talk about what do you identify with? And further than that, as believers, I ask you, do you identify with your identity? And does your identity identify you with Christ? Because when you're identified with Christ, all those things we talked about with respect to the name of Jesus come into play for you, even greater. And we talked about how the church, not Rosetown Community Church, but the church as a whole, is struggling through an identity crisis right now. Too many people go to church and they don't live like they have the correct identity on. Too many people go to church and they don't understand really what it means to be a believer. They don't understand how they're activated into this army of God that we just sang about. They don't understand the authority that they can live with in their life. And instead of living with authority that they've been called to live with, they live defeated, they live beaten up, and they live destroyed. But we don't have to live that way. That's good news. Well, two of you guys are awake. We don't have to. It's exciting to me. Too many of us don't know our mission and our purpose as believers. We are so stuck up on our religion that we don't understand our mission. We get stuck in the rut and routine of what churches look like, that we forget about our mission to minister to the world. And without understanding that, how can church be what it is called to be? If we don't understand that mission, if we're not living out within that authority that we've been called to live within, how can we be the church? So this week I want to talk more about our identity. And until we understand that identity, how can we walk in our authority? So we're gonna highlight really last week, because last week could have been one sermon, but I would have kept you here for probably 2.5 hours. So instead, I'm going to only kept you here for 40 minutes last week. This week, I'll keep you here for 1 hour and 40 minutes. That seems fair, right? No, it's not going to be that long. So let's just highlight last week a little bit more. So Hebrews 4:14 says, "Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession." We need to hold tight to that confession, is what we talked about, right? And remembering that what that confession is isn't a confession of our sins or our wrongdoings. This isn't what James says to confess our faults to one another. The Bible has something that very few believers know about, or maybe they know about it, but they don't practice it. And we need to hold tight. We need to hold strong to our confession of faith, our confession of who we are in Christ Jesus. We need to hold fast to our mission. We need to hold fast to our identity of who Christ has called us to be. Amen? So wherever you are in life, if you're in a crisis, if you're in any kind of crisis, whether it be financial, health, spiritual, marital, relational, if you're in any kind of crisis, who you are or what you are is either speaking to that, or it's challenging that crisis. And it's either helping you stay in that crisis and be sustained in that crisis, or it's calling you out and you're walking out in the authority that you've been given in Christ Jesus not to be in the crisis. What you are will always speak to where you are. And who you are will always confront the where you are, won't it? And too many Christians have accepted where they are. Too many believers accept where they are. Well, I guess this is where I am. I'm just going to plant my feet here and root here and be here. What? That might be really loud in the... What? That should be really loud, though. You don't need to accept where you are at that point in time unless you're where you have the authority to be. When you're walking in the authority, then you don't even actually accept where you are when you're walking in that authority, because you keep pressing on for more, don't you? Or do you sit there with your feet up and say, "Oh, I've arrived. It's good." I don't think we do. I hope we don't. How many of you, and I asked this question last week, I'm asking it again because it's a good reminder. How many of you heard, or maybe you've said, "Well, everything happens for a reason. There's a purpose and there's a lesson in everything. I just don't know what the Lord's trying to teach me." Or maybe something crazy like, Well, you know, the Lord is sovereign in all things. And yes, he's sovereign. And he is there in all things. But he doesn't want you to walk in pain or hurt or worry or lack. He's called us for greater, hasn't he? And you know what stuff like this shows me? And even there's greater things that things show me. Like right now, I'm deeply grieved by the stuff I'm reading on social media and hearing in the media, what people are saying and believing. And so many people believe the lies that are out there on social media. They believe lies that people have told them. They believe the lies rather than actually looking into things and asking God for some direction and some clarity on things. They listen to what CNN tells them, or they listen to what Facebook or Twitter tells them. They think it's okay for the world's craziest things. They think, we're not going to get into the political talk. But it shows me stuff I've read. I'm sorry. Can I speak to this for a second? It's going to be okay, right? If I get kicked off Facebook, whatever. And if you disagree with me, I'm sorry, but you maybe need to hear this. People, I was watching a video the other day, and they were talking about abortion. And the media proclaimed new president is okay with abortion. And in Canada, they're trying to push for late-term abortions. And even after birth abortion, which is murder. It is all murder. You're right. It is all murder. And the fact of the matter is, and the one argument was, well, after conception, it's just a clump of cells. You're just a clump of cells. Think about that. We are just a clump of cells made up to function. But the whole purpose of this is this girl I watched, and this is how crazy our world's become, is this girl that I watched. That was her comment, was, well, just a clump of cells. And then they said, okay, well, at what point is it not okay? And she's like, well, when it's connected to the mom. And the lady interviewing this girl said, so after the baby's born, it's still connected to the mom through the umbilical cord until that's cut. Is it okay to still kill that baby? And this girl said, yes. Think about that for a second. This is what our world has done. And the crazier thing is, here's the crazy thing, okay? And if you're offended, good. I hope you're offended at this. I hope this upsets you. I hope you're like, Dave, this has nothing to do with the message. It doesn't, but it does. Because what are we standing for as the church? Because the church is so confused. Because I actually saw church people that I know arguing in favor of abortion, and it's a woman's right. What is wrong with the church? I'm sorry. That makes me angry. It impassions me. And it should impassion you. I don't even know if I'm passionate. Makes me passionate. Makes me frustrated. Makes me angry. A righteous anger. But a righteous anger is fine. Guys, the church has just been lulled to sleep. And we've just sat there silently for too long. And we need to be shaken about the truths of God's word and what we are called to be. And this is just one example of how we as the church has been pacified. Sorry, that's a complete aside. That wasn't even in my notes, but... So now that the church accepts where they are and who they are, and we need to wake up and smell the coffee as the church, and we need to look at the Word of God and apply those truths, every single truth of the Word of God, to our life. We need to realize who we are in Christ. Don't we? Sorry for the rant. I don't do that often. Sometimes I get on my own tangents, but I don't rant like that. But I think it's something we need to get passionate about. Anyway, who am I? Who am I in Christ? Who am I? Well, Romans 5, who am I? There we go. Romans 5:17, you don't have these verses, Ella, don't worry. I have received the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness, reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So these are all verses we talked about last week. This is part of the recap. So I get to rule and reign in life like a king, like with Jesus, because I am an heir to the throne, right? Right? I'm an heir to the throne with Jesus.
I rule and reign in life like a king. Joel 3:10 tells me that I am strong, doesn't it? Boy, guys, I'm going to have to talk louder. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my refuge and fortress of my life. Whom shall I dread? He is our fortress that keeps us safe. Because he is our fortress, we don't need to worry about the junk of the world that they may try to throw at us. We don't need to live a life of fear. We also don't need to lay around doing nothing. The Lord is the strength of my life. Romans 10:10 tells us, for the heart of a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth, what does he do? He confesses, resulting in salvation. And salvation here, we talked about this, okay, guys? Salvation isn't just, I'm not going to hell, I get to go to heaven, life's good, yay, let's throw a party. That's not what salvation here means. Salvation here means sozo. So sozo means healed. So salvation means I'm healed from sickness. I'm restored from weakness. I'm set free from the snares and the traps of life. It means financial strength instead of poverty, doesn't it? The word salvation doesn't mean just saved from hell. I am whole. I am healed because of salvation. And we need to recognize this as the church. This is our identity as the church. Romans 8:14 says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. We are sons and daughters of God. We don't live with the spirit of fear or bondage. We get to live with the spirit of adoption. And if we're children of God, like I just said, we're heirs with Jesus. And as that child of God and being an heir with Jesus, I have the authority that Jesus has in my life over. I can declare things in my life, can I? John 15:5-7 says, I am the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what? What do we ask? Anything. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Jesus speaking. Must be true. It is true, right? If Jesus said it, it's got to be true. So I'm a man that has results, because fruit is the result of what a fruit tree makes, right? It's not leaves. A fruit tree isn't made to make leaves, is it? A fruit tree is designed to make fruit. Not firewood, not leaves, not, I don't know, just fruit trees don't make pussy whistles. They make flowers and then they become fruit. But you know what I mean? They're designed to make fruit. That's what a fruit tree is for. That means that's a result. That's its result. So whatever I do, wherever I go, results will follow. Whatever I will put my hand to will prosper, won't it? No weapon formed against me can touch me. I am to bring forth fruit, whatever I do. And Ephesians 2:10 says what? I am his discount bargain bin guy. Is that what I am? Or am I his workmanship? Am I his masterpiece? I am designed in heaven by God. Like I said last week, and I was actually at Esten on Thursday and shared with them, but I talked about how I wanted this tattoo. I told you guys about the tattoo, but I'll recap the tattoo. I wanted a tattoo with a Canadian flag on my arm that said, made in Canada or assembled in Canada or something like that. But now I really want this tattoo that says, designed in heaven, created by God, because that's who I am. Amen? You're designed in heaven, created by God. And like those little kid books or kid signs that says, God don't make junk. He makes you specific. He has given you an anointing, and he has given you authority. But are you walking in it? Now, what I am is what we want to talk about today a little bit. I hope you all have a good recap of last week. We ran through it in about, I don't know, 6 minutes, 7 minutes. I really want to, this really ties into what we're talking about now. So what I am speaks to ability. What I am. And 1 Peter 2:24 says this about what I am. It says, by his wounds or by his stripes, you who believed have been what? What? I've been healed. I am healed. I am the healed. See, this is from, the statement is not I might be healed or I will be healed, but I am healed. I'm not looking for healing. I've found the healing in Jesus. Amen? By his stripes, we are healed. We shouldn't be waiting on it. We are healed. We're called and healed when we know Jesus. Matthew 8:17 says, he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He himself took our infirmities upon himself and carried away our diseases. This is foretelling of us when we become believers, that Jesus' death on that cross, Jesus carrying that cross, Jesus dying on that cross, Jesus rising again from the dead, is taking away our sicknesses, our infirmities, and making us whole, carrying away our diseases. By his stripes, we are what? We are healed. Romans 8:12. I think I got two verses on here. No, I only have one. Romans 8:12 says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me what? Made me free from the law of sin and death. And then if we jump to Romans 8:5-6, we just jump down a couple verses. It says, for the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the spirit is what? Is life and peace. And for they that are after the mind, or after the flesh, mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. Are you after the things of the spirit? Or are we after the minds of the flesh? Are we chasing after things of flesh? Or are we chasing after the spirit? Are we chasing after more God? Are we diving in and trying to get to know him better? Are we spending time with him? Are we doing things like spending time praying in tongues? Are we spending time speaking his word over our lives? Are we taking time to declare his word with the authority that we've been given over our lives? I have the spirit of life of God in me. And if you know Jesus, you have the spirit of life of God in you. And when we say that, we have life. Wherever I go, the life of God that heals, the life of God that prospers, the life of God that has peace, the life of God that has joy, the life of God that pushes back the enemy, pushes back darkness, is in me. I'm yelling a lot today, guys. And that's what I can do, because that's what I have. Amen? I have the life of God in me. What am I? James 4:7 says, be subject, therefore, unto God, but resist the devil, and what? He'll stick around and bug you some more. He'll just natter at you and annoy you and just be there, right? No, what will he do? He'll flee. He'll flee from you. When I resist the devil, he doesn't just hang out. He doesn't just, well, I'll come back tomorrow. He runs in terror. And that's not just a little promise. That is what I am. I'm a child of the King, and this is what I have the ability to do because of Jesus and who he is and who I'm aligned to. And if I keep going back to this, we aren't just saying, get behind me, Satan. Get lost, Satan. Take a hike, Satan. But we got Jesus with us, don't we? And we're not saying that just from our own power and authority. We are saying it because we have power and authority of Jesus with us. We are heirs to heaven with Jesus. Satan has already been defeated, hasn't he? He has no authority, does he? No. You have the authority. Do you get why I'm fired up this morning? Stop living under his his thumb because he actually is defeated under your feet. Romans 8:37, I'm a little fired up. Nay, in all things, these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. More than conquerors. What does that mean to you? To be more than a conqueror? Does it mean, well, we rolled in, we kicked the devil's butt, and now he's out, and yay, we won? Is that what it means? That just means you won the battle, right? But we're more than just winning the battle. It's more than just one, more than just a thing to win the battle. It's another thing, like, to go in and conquer, to defeat the enemy, and then to move forward and set up infrastructure like roads and power and schools and getting some nice highways and some ring roads set up around the place, right? So you're more than a conqueror. You're more than just going in and bombing Baghdad and then heading back to the U.S. and saying, mission accomplished. You're doing more than that because now you're sticking around and you're helping set up schools and nurses and training nurses, and setting up hospitals, right? You're setting up a brand new infrastructure because that's what somebody that is more than a conqueror does. And that's what we are. We are more than conquerors. See, a lot of people can go and fight, can't they? Everybody can go and fight a battle. But who can actually go in after the fight and build? We can. And people say, I'm fighting the devil in my relationships, or I'm at work and I'm just fighting the devil here, or I go into ShopEasy and I can't get a good deal and I'm fighting the devil there, or whatever. ShopEasy gives good deals. I don't want Joe to come at me. He won't. But here's the thing. Why do we keep saying this? The Bible doesn't say to fight the devil, does it? It says to fight the good fight of faith. That's what the Bible tells me. That's what my Bible tells me. It says to fight and declare who you are and what you are. And God's word is so powerful, but it's only good when it comes out of your mouth. It's only good when you speak it and declare it. And I've heard this from a couple different pastors, and they make me chuckle, but it's really good. Really is good. And I'm going to be right back, okay? Just talk amongst yourself for a second. I know this is weird to do online. I got two, okay? Because we're gonna make this really effective today. I got three. I got three Bibles here. So, you know, guys, I was shoveling some snow and I hurt my shoulder, okay? I hurt my shoulder the other day. I can barely lift anything with this right shoulder. So we're just gonna get it healed. This is healing it right now, right? Yeah, faith can work that way. But isn't faith so much more than we declare things over our mouth? By his stripes I am healed, and my shoulder is healed in Jesus' name. Isn't that more a little more effective? Speaking and declaring healing and wholeness. See, we can't just take our Bible and hold it against a torn ligament. Yes, healing can work that way. But when we declare it with our mouth, by Jesus' stripes we're healed. When we declare it with our mouth that I am strong with the strength of God, isn't that a little more effective for our healing? We need to wake up, people. See, faith is a heart and a confession thing. God spoke his power, didn't he? Jesus spoke his power, and we believers, we need to speak and declare our power and our authority. We have been given authority as heirs of Jesus. And since we're heirs of Jesus, why are we, the church, so stagnant at doing what Jesus did? Ministering, sharing the gospel to the world, showing the love and grace that Jesus has poured out on us. Why aren't we advancing the kingdom for God? See, Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Yes, we want and we pray for good things in our nation of Canada, or the kingdom of Saskatchewan, if you will. But first, we're citizens of heaven, aren't we? And our job first is to advance God's kingdom, isn't it? So are we getting results? I hate to say it, some of us are, some of us aren't. I'm not telling you if you are or aren't. Maybe you spend some time with Holy Spirit and God and ask and figure it out. You might even know the answer without even asking, because you don't see the results of the fruit. See, John 15, 8, 9 says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. So like I shared last week, I have apple trees in my yard. Two of the three of them are giving me results. They're producing apples. They're producing fruit, right? And if they aren't producing fruit, are they really a fruit tree? That's a question. So we see people in church and we say they've been following Jesus for 20 years or 10 years or 15 years and they've been so faithful. But what does that even mean? What does that mean? We've been faithful. Does it mean you attended church? Is that what that means? Does it mean that you've filled up your chair and you've taken that space? Does it mean your butt is, I've got to make sure I use the right word, imprinted, not implanted in the chair, but imprinted in that chair? Is that what it means? Is that your fruit? No. To be faithful means to be faithfully fruitful, bearing fruit in your marriage, bearing fruit in your jobs, bearing fruit with your neighbors, bearing fruit with your kids, results in going to church, inviting people to church, bringing people to church, sharing the good news and the gospel, declaring things of healing and seeing healings happen in your life. Our mission is to bear fruit for the kingdom, isn't it? To get his promises that are in his word to work in our lives. So are you walking in healing? That's bearing fruit, right? Are you doing that? Are you prospering? That's bearing fruit. Are you being controlled by poverty? Or are you not being controlled by poverty? Because if you're not being controlled by poverty, that's bearing grapes or bearing fruit. It's the only fruit I could think of when my notes were being made. Grapes. I love grapes. Having joy in the midst of a storm. That's bearing fruit. Getting results like that are called for in the Word of God. Those are the results in the kingdom of God. So let's get up and follow Jesus. Let's get up and have some results in our life. Amen? Do you want to have results, or do you want to just live the same life you've been living for however long you've been living? Maybe you've seen results and getting results, and hey, that's awesome. I'm speaking to everyone. I can't specifically say, hey, you're getting results, so that's good. Good on you, and not talk to everybody else. We need to declare who Jesus is in our life, and we need to declare his promises over our life. 1 John 3:8 says, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. See, the devil wants to have some work going on, and our job is to walk into heartache as believers. Our job is to walk into a hurting world and destroy what's going on there in the name of Jesus. We need to bring joy in these hurting atmospheres. We need to bring peace where there's hurt and devastation. We need to bring healing wherever we go. Where there's sickness, do we just walk in and say, oh, it sucks. That sucks for you. See ya. Peace. No, that's not what we do, right? I don't say peace when I say goodbye to somebody either. That's just weird. But do we walk in and say, let me pray for you. Let's believe full faith that you will be healed, because by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. So let's believe together and let's thank him for the healing. What are we bringing? What sort of atmosphere, what sort of environment are we bringing with us? We need to bring joy. We need to bring peace. We need to bring in prosperity and health. We don't need to bring in, well, man, it sucks that you don't have two nickels to rub together to make 10 cents. Man, that's tough. I'll see ya. No, let's teach about prosperity. Let's talk about prosperity and the blessings we have because we follow Jesus. That one gets people upset sometimes. That's okay. Hebrews 10, 12, and 13. I'm just not going to pause there. You can watch it again in slow motion if you want to get upset at me. Hebrews 10, 12 to 13 says, "But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting for the time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet." So Jesus is expecting his enemies to be his footstool. Is he not? Is that what that scripture tells us? As he is seated at the position of authority at the right hand of God. Now I'm going to pause there and say, if Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, and we are heirs with Jesus, and Jesus has authority. I'm not saying we're sitting at the right hand of God, but we have authority like Jesus has. Don't we? Scripture tells us that. Scripture tells us we are heirs with Jesus. We've talked about this a ton. This is an important point to wrap our heads around. He's expecting you and I to get up, but so many believers are sitting here watching their clock, waiting for the trumpet to blow because it's the end and it's the rapture and we're all out of here. I've had enough of this. I just need that horn to blow. Have you ever said that or maybe heard somebody say that? I've heard lots of people say it. I might have even said it a time or two. But and I felt very, I felt like it was the wrong thing to say after the fact and after understanding this more. See, the question I have is, when you say you've had enough of what? What have you had enough of? The devil? I just said, the devil's under your foot. Right? That floor's not that strong when you stomp on it, Lyle. What'd you do there? But right? What have you had enough of the devil who's already under your feet and defeated and destroyed in Jesus' name? Have you had enough of the people who serve the devil? Because they're also under your feet. See, I think if we make those types of statements of, well, it's had enough. I can't take it anymore. We're missing out on the promises and authority that we have in Jesus' name, that have been given to us in Jesus' name. We are missing out on those guys. We need to read the word, we need to know our identity, and we need to know who we are and get moving with the mission that we've been called to do. Don't we? I'm going to invite the music team up. See, we need to know his word. We need to know what it says. We need to know the authority we can walk in and the things that we can declare over our lives. Don't we? Can't we? Shouldn't we? Don't you? I want us to be a people here at this church that declare from the word all the promises that are there for us. Amen? To be a people who live life with the authority that is ours. I'm going to start yelling again. Turn me down. I want us to be a people who change the community we are in. Who make a difference. Who, rather than getting hung up on religion, push forward the kingdom of God wherever we go. I've heard this statement said before, and Louis, who used to pastor in Carlisle, repeated the statement and reminded me of the statement a few times, but it's, we will do anything short of sin to get people to know Jesus. So what are we willing to do to get people to know Jesus? Because the things we talked about here just now with our authority, that's a long ways from sin. But are we willing to engage people? Are we willing to talk to people? Are we willing to do what it takes to get people to know Jesus and the authority that they can live under so that they don't have to be living a life of burden and in crisis? What's our stance on that? What are we willing to do? Are we willing to walk out and live our life of authority, or are we going to live a life defeated, is my question, I guess. Because I pray that you're living a life, want to live a life of authority. I pray you want to live a life where you can declare promises over your life. And I pray that you know the authority you've been called to live in. That's what I pray, and that's what I hope. And we're going to continue to talk next week about authority. And we're going to talk about authority until I feel like we've talked enough about authority, and I feel the Lord's led us to that stop point. But guys, we have a huge opportunity in this town to reach our community and to share the authority and declare these promises over our lives. We can declare, we can pray for people, and we can stand with people and pray His word over their lives. And we have an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ with each person we come in contact with, don't we? So let's walk in our authority today, this week, going forward. Would you guys stand and pray with me? We're going to do two prayers this morning like we always do. And the first one, we're just going to give people watching online or here in the room an opportunity to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior if they don't know Him. So what we're going to do is if you feel stirred today, that you're like, yeah, I want to walk in that authority. That's what I want. That's what I've been missing. I'm tired of feeling defeated. I'm tired of feeling living this crisis life. Maybe it's I'm tired of feeling like a victim. I want to feel like a victor. Then would you guys just repeat this prayer after me? And those of you that already know Jesus, that's awesome. I'm going to ask you to do like we always do and repeat after me as well. Should somebody around us not know Jesus, they feel comfortable to repeat the prayer. Would you do this with me today? Dear God, I know that my sin has separated me from you. God, I want to walk with victory. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me new. Purify me. And help me walk closer to you each day. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if that's you, I'd love for you to call me, 306-882-2453, or email me or message me on Facebook page. It says on the message there what my email address is. It also says the phone number. I'd love to hear from you. If you're here, I'd love to talk to you. We can chat after the service. But I just want to invite you to start living in that authority. Now, let's pray together as a group. Father God, we love you. God, we thank you for the authority that you have called us to live. Father, thank you for your promises that are in your word and that we can live by. Father, thank you that by your stripes we are healed in Jesus' name. Thank you that by the cross we are whole. Thank you that we have sozo, that we have salvation, that we have we can walk with prosperity, we can walk with victory. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. God, I pray that this week we would begin to walk more in our authority and that we would realize that Satan is under our feet and has no authority over us. He has nothing on us because we are your child. So God, we thank you for that. We thank you for this reminder today, and we pray that you would just bless us all. Give us a great week in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless, and we will talk to you guys very soon.